Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, Shad and I are introducing and really following up on some recent news from a new company that we're bringing on the show, Black Wolf Copper and Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol BWCG and on the OTC markets under the symbol BWCGF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Rob McLeod. Now, Rob, the company is focused, well, the company actually has three projects, the main project being the Niblack project. Now, this project just had some news come out on it, some drill results from yesterday. The project is located in Southeast Alaska, right by the Golden Triangle, and the other two companies' projects are also Cantu and Texas Creek. These are in Southeast Alaska, really just across the border, right beside the Golden Triangle. Let's start off with the Niblack property, though, because, look, there has been some historic drilling here. It's right beside the Golden Triangle, and the company is currently drilling and just had some drill results come out. Give us first and foremost a background on this Niblack property, please.
Well, sure, and thanks for having me on. Niblack, in fact, if you go way back, it was a historic producer, direct shipping high-grade copper a little over a century ago. But it was, over the past couple of decades, it received quite a bit of historic work. Lots of drilling. There's a full-size production ramp on the project. And there's a current resource of about 5.6 million tons of indicated resources and 2.4 million tons of inferred of copper, gold, silver, and zinc volcanogenic massive sulfide mineralization. And the previous name of the company that we took over about a year ago was Heatherdale Resources. And the project really had been idle for almost a decade. And when we came in, what we really appealed to us was that, you know, there's this new geological model that was formulated. And usually that doesn't like get retail investors and stuff all super, super excited. But what we saw made so much sense. So this deposit, which is hosted within one type of rock, was folded. It was folded twice on itself. And what we were actually quite excited about was that this new geological interpretation was that the whole system was overturned. And so what does that mean to some of your listeners? Probably not much, but what to us, what we saw was that this deposit was wide open for expansion. So we started drilling actually last December, and we put out our initial results in April, where we had a whole bunch of really high grade, you know, up to 15% copper equivalent values over, you know, sort of 3 to 12 meter type widths in this whole new area, actually in and around the old mine. And previously, this was thought to be what's called an antiform. So it was like an upside down shaped U. And we drilled it and we hit both limbs of the folds. I got really great numbers. The stock spiked from our private placement price, which was in around 80 cents, up to $1.50. And then just yesterday, we put out drill results from the main ore body, where the one where there's 5.6 million tons of indicated. And so we had rehabilitated the underground, and we drilled our initial two holes. It was, you know, our technical team's first drill hole in that deposit. So, you know, we went for a relatively safe one. We're expecting sort of a 1 to 5 meter intercept. And the first drill hole came back, you know, 30 meters, or 27 meters of, and the assay showed over 3% copper equivalent, which is very good grade. And we drilled a second one. We got 31 meters of very comparable great values. And to us, this has really opened up the potential to dramatically grow the size of the deposit. So really exciting. We can see the path with our new geological interpretation, all of these different new zones. We can see the path to dramatically growing the size of resources on this VMS system.
Well, Rob, one of the things that is interesting is, you know, when I think back to, I remember Heatherdale Resources, and I initially thought of it as a as a zinc story, but obviously there's a ton of copper there, and copper price has definitely increased over the last year or so. But there's also quite a big precious metals component. Before we dive into the recent drill results, could you maybe just back up and explain to investors how these volcanic massive sulfide deposits are really polymetallic, and there's a lot of things that a lot of cofactors that plug into those copper equivalent resources, and what that could mean as far as the overall lay of the land?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, one of the best for a lot of your listeners might remember Nevsun Resources. And they discovered this deposit in North Africa called Bisha. And, you know, that's actually our best geological comparison. They're almost, even though it's the other side of the world, they're similar geological age, but it's, you know, the rock chemistry and stuff is all really the same. But you have equal values of copper and gold, and then also what you would call, say, byproduct silver, and also a big zinc component. The diversified miners love these type of deposits, again, because you have a variety of commodities that are being produced, and that you can potentially take advantage of different swings that you get in metal prices. So, you know, if you look on the coast of northwest coast of North America, like either British Columbia or Alaska, you have like Hecla's flagship mine, Greens Creek. You have on Vancouver Island, the Mira Falls mine, which is owned by Nearstar. They've been, man, mining there since the 60s. Is that you can get, especially once you get the geology figured out, you can have really substantial, large, highly profitable, low footprint underground mining operations. And, you know, we see there's like this 5 mile long prospective horizon of at Niblack. We really do see the potential for more discoveries just on, you know, on this one property, but all the way along the trend and following up on some other actually, you know, well-known historic showings that haven't been drilled. And one of the best examples is actually there's one showing called Dama. And it's pretty rare, you know, when you're as an exploration geologist, when you're looking at different properties to see, you know, isolated drill holes with high grades that have never been followed up. This is a 19 meter hole of 6% copper, and that has not been followed up. So that's obviously a high priority one for us to chase well outside of the current resources and drill results that we've posted to date.
Okay, Rob, let's summarize some of the targets, the main targets then on this Niblack property, because the resource, it comes from two areas, mostly majority coming from the Lookout Zone, a little bit coming from the Trio Zone, and then there's also the Dama Zone and a couple other targets on this property. Summarize all the targets that you are planning on drilling, please.
So we'll be following up, first of all, from the Niblack mine. So no resources there yet, but there should be when we update it. There's enough drilling there now that we should be able to have our first resource. We'll be following up values such as like 7.6 meters of 10% copper equivalent, 3 meters of 14% copper equivalent. That's one. You go to the south, 1 kilometer to the south of that deposit, that's the Lookout Zone where we just, yesterday's press release, 27 meters of 1.8 grams gold, 32 grams silver, so about an ounce, a percent copper, and a percent zinc. And this zone's really wide. It gets up to 120 meters wide. So that sort of grade, it's, you know, you're looking at really high margin type operations for bulk mineable underground deposits with those sort of thicknesses. The Trio Zone, to be honest, it's a nice deposit. There's about 1 million tons of inferred, but it's starting to get some pretty long drill holes, and it's not in a really good position to drill it from underground. So the next one will be the Dama Zone, which is that 19 meters of 6%. There's a bunch of other targets, and we're going to be doing some geophysics to work up more. IP geophysics works really, really well in these type of VMS systems, and as well as some downhole geophysics. And we're going to continue to chase this deposit to depth. and keep on growing. But, you know, I tell you, there's, and it, particularly if you look at our investor base, this is one of the best, in my opinion, new copper stories, even though it's an older system, but basically new copper stories in the United States.
Okay, so Rob, can you summarize then the overall drill program? How many meters are planned here in the news flow? What people can expect from where the drills will be turning?
So we're going to keep on going, but we're going to start up again in about a month's time. Based on the results that we've seen and what our ambitions are for this project and the company, we've decided that we're upgrading our site infrastructure. Basically, we're putting in a larger camp so we can host more people and drillers. So we're taking a break from the drilling while we set that up. We've got these results in, and then we should be back again out there, call it near the end of July. And then in the meantime, our geological team is going out to the new properties that we staked and we announced last week that are located on the Alaska side of the border in the Golden Triangle, south of the, or actually to the west rather, of Ascot's Premier Gold Project, south of the Pretium Spruce Jack Mine, and other past producers such as Grand Duke or Scotty Gold. So our geological crew will be doing some reconnaissance out there, and we'll have some news flow in what I think is a really exciting regional pipeline project for the company.
Okay, so Rob, one more final point then regarding those drill results from yesterday. Headline numbers being 27 meters, averaging 1.1% copper. You go up to the copper equivalent because there is a gold component and a silver and zinc component. 3.1% copper equivalent. That's in one of those holes. We also saw a little over 32 meters, averaging 2.6% copper equivalent. Give us a little summary here of these results, what they're telling you about the project, comparing the high grade with these widths right around 30 meters.
Oh, sure. And actually, I do want to emphasize that within those wider zones, there's higher grade cores, like four meters of 7.7% copper equivalent, 3 meters of 5.8% copper equivalent. Like these are real, this is real high unit value mineralization. And it is wide open from these intercepts. You know, actually, you know, one of the first holes that we're going to be drilling out here once we resume our underground drilling, and again, this is like from a full production size decline, is we're following up, we're stepping out 25 meters up dip from 5.5 meters of 8 grams gold, 4% copper, 194 grams silver, and 13% zinc. So our next hole is going to be up dip and then more along strike from it. So these polymetallic values, it can often be, since you're combining different commodities, can be challenging to understand. But I tell you, it's the producers love them, and also especially when you have really good metallurgy like we do with this project. So you know, expect over, and this is going to be a long term story over the next couple of years. You know, continued really good drill results, updated resources and economic studies as we execute on our longer term vision. And then the real kind of nice little bonus plays are the West Texas or Texas Creek and the Cantu properties that we just state northwest of Hydro Alaska.
Rob, you know, I agree with you. I think that some of these recent drill results that you just put out yesterday are very impressive as far as the grades, and the polymetallic nature are the kind of deposits that smelters like, and that offtake agreements. You know, it's the kind of mineralization that you want to see in a VMS deposit. And I thought that the grades were pretty substantial, but the market did come under pressure yesterday. And I'm sure investors that are following the story or familiar with it are going to wonder what happened. You know, if there's such good results, why was there the sell-off? Do you have any thoughts as to what happened yesterday?
So we do have a pretty good understanding to where we think one of the big seller was, and it was actually, it happens to coincide with an escrow release of a legacy shareholder. Now, about a decade ago, there was a convertible agreement was signed with a Hong Kong based fund. And the previous management had there was, you know, the potential of a legal dispute with it. So, you know, prior to our management team coming on board, and in fact, it was one of the conditions, is that there was a settlement with additional shares. This group's called Sino Capital. And this happens to coincide with they can sell about 250,000 shares semi-annually until they're out. So probably they're, and you know, it does, it's not, the fund manages it, they usually put it in the hands of a trader, and so they saw liquidity and took the opportunity to sell. All we have a really good shareholder base of institutions and high net worth and great retail, so you know, really great support from Crescat, who honestly haven't really put their marketing machine behind it. That should hopefully be coming soon. Delbrook Capital, been a long time backer of mine, and all of our big retail holders, and certainly I'm the largest shareholder to the company. We're all long. Just sometimes you get these liquidity events, I'm really confident once we disseminate this news a little bit more, and I'm going to really get out and be doing more marketing of what I think is a really undervalued story. We should be going in the right direction. We only have 31 million shares outstanding, and that's fully diluted, around 29, partially. So there's not a lot of warrant. There's no warrant overhang for this company. And we still think we're really undervalued here at like a $35 to $40 million market cap.
Yeah, well, Rob, I agree. You got a good list of strong shareholders there behind you. We like it when management eats their own cooking and has a strong position in it. And I think that over time, your story, you know, the truth will out, and the drill bit will be the truth machine. But just speaking of the news that's coming down the pike for investors, what should we be looking forward to? What key catalysts are coming for the company over the next 3 to 6 months that we should all have our eyes on?
Well, it's going to be more drill results, surface exploration, where we're following up for these really, really high grade native electrum veins at our West Texas property. Really good surface values. These are new properties, so nobody's ever heard of them because they date to the 1920s and 30s. And this proprietary information that I actually inherited from my dad, who was a lifetime resident of Stewart, BC in the Golden Triangle. So we're going to have great news flow of results. We are also working on other corporate development opportunities. The bigger vision for our company, with Niblack being the founding pillar or founding deposit, is to find other stranded deposits either in Southeast Alaska or Northwestern British Columbia that are either close to the road or close to tidewater, where you can combine different deposits with one hub and spoke type milling operation. That's our grand vision for the company. So we are still keeping our eye on the prize for how we can get to that point. You know, yeah, we structure these companies looking at what's our ultimate exit, which is to get, you know, a feasibility study done on the project that's highly economic. But we have been looking at a bunch of other opportunities where we could potentially combine mineralization with Niblack. Niblack's great location right on tidewater, but there is no spot for a mill or tailings facility. So we're looking at some other areas, including brownfield sites, where we could maybe take some of the mineralization from the deposit for processing. You know, it's quite well advanced. So look for some of those. No guarantees until deals are done, but part of my job is always to look out what is going to be next. But really, over the next certainly for the rest of the year, it's going to be assay results are what's going to drive this company.
Absolutely. Well, we'll follow up as some more news hits the market there, Rob. And I will also post a link to the Black Wolf website and the presentation so everyone can get a full understanding of the projects and also some of the strategy moving forward. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get Rob to address those. Rob, appreciate the update today. We will touch base on the back of some more news.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, boys.